I'll be honest. Once it gets hot out, I'm not trying to overthink outfits. I want something that's comfortable, breathable, and still looks like I tried a little bit. That's where Quince is coming for me, and I absolutely love their 100% linen drawstring pants with the matching short sleeve button down that I just got from Quince. Guys, it's exactly the kind of thing I want in the summer. Super easy to throw on, doesn't feel stiff, it doesn't feel heavy, it's breathable, and it looks clean without being too dressed up. It's basically vacation energy without looking like you packed in 5 minutes, and you can have that vacation energy all summer long at home as well. Quince does high quality essentials without the luxury markup. We're talking linens, organic cotton, tees, lightweight sweaters, all the stuff that you actually wear. Their European linen pants and shirts are a great warm weather upgrade, and the price is right. They're starting at just $34, and pricing is a big part of it. Everything at Quince is 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman. So you're paying for quality, not just the logo. And they go way beyond clothing. You've heard me talk about how much I love the Quince website. They have bedding, cookware, sofas. It's one of those sites where you go for one thing and end up staying for many more. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/crypto101. Are you curious about the economic forces shaping your daily life? The Planet Money podcast from NPR makes sense of the economy in ways you'll actually understand and enjoy. Guys, you love listening to the rundowns. I get some of that information from this NPR Planet Money podcast, especially recently with the war going on, the Strait of Hormuz. You're just kind of getting those updates as they come from these guys. They put out a ton of awesome content. It's a different perspective from Crypto 101, but still a great listen. So go over there and check out the Planet Money podcast if stuff like current events and the finance world interest you. Each story on Planet Money starts with a question. Recent episodes ask why Pokemon cards are growing faster than your retirement account. Questions about the war, just like we talked about recently a lot on our program, from the job market to the stock market to prices at the supermarket. Planet Money explains it all. Planet Money is a different kind of world where the complex economy somehow makes sense, where human stories supersede abstract theories so you can learn, laugh, and be entertained. It's econ, but just down to earth. The hosts go to unusual lengths to explain the economy. They've published their own book to track the global supply chain. They've shot a satellite into space to understand the economics of the private space industry. They've gone inside a live book auction to show how ideas get to market. It's the kind of show where you learn something, probably laugh, and walk away seeing the world a little differently. And I think if you like Crypto 101, you'll enjoy Planet Money. So maybe check that out. Follow NPR's Planet Money podcast and understand how money shapes the world. All right, everybody, sorry about the technical difficulties at the top, but we are live and welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast. It is an exciting day. You saw the thumbnail and the title. It's technical analysis because Bitcoin is at a key level today and the next move could decide the direction for the entire crypto market. We're breaking down the technical analysis for Bitcoin, the major support and resistance levels that Brendan's going to show us in the charts right after this intro, and what a setup means for the altcoins, Ethereum. We're going to talk about it all right now. You're in the right place. There's a lot going on in the market. It's obviously been volatile times. There's a lot of talk about the ceasefire. There has been now for multiple weeks, but the markets seem to be moving higher this Friday afternoon. Brendan, welcome back to the show. Thank you for coming back, and more importantly, thank you bring the charts with you.
It's a good time to look at the charts. It's a pretty good day here for Bitcoin as we're having a nice little rally back to the upside. We'll talk about the catalyst, but Bitcoin pushing its way back to 74,000. It's in a pretty steep decline this week. Started the week off at a high of around just shy of 78,000. Since then, we've fallen down to about 72, rebounded here from 72 to 74 today. Good stuff all around you. I think we just kick things off like straight into the charts. Yeah, does that sound good?
Pull them up.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin here is what I think a lot of people are looking to pay attention to because, you know, it's the leader of the crypto market, right? What Bitcoin does, a lot of the rest of the crypto market tends to follow. And we are still in this pattern where it's like move down, bear flag, rinse and repeat. You know, that's nothing new, right? Nothing has really changed from that point where you had the move down, bear flag, move down, bear flag, move down, bear flag. I think the big change here from recent weeks is that we came up towards the top of this. We were a little bit optimistic that maybe we could break through this. And now we're at this conflicting point of interest where there is a lot of indicator data and a lot of like exterior data that's saying, hey, there could definitely be a reversal at play. Historically, when we've seen the kind of data that we've seen, and we'll walk through this probably today, that shows that the bottom is typically in. The difference here is that the chart itself, the actual candle chart, is telling us a little bit of a different story. This is saying, hey, we're still in these bear flag breakdown, rinse and repeat cycles. We came up to the top of this bear flag, we rejected it. We came up to the 200-week moving average, the yellow line, and we rejected that. We came up to the orange line, which is the anchored VWAP from the all-time high. We rejected that. We even came up to our prior consolidation range lows, and we rejected that. So it kind of begs the question, well, if we're unable to break into our prior highs, if we're unable to break into our prior consolidation ranges, if we're unable to break above the 200-day moving average, the anchored VWAP from the all-time high, and the top of the bear flag, you know, is that really a reversal? And I think the answer there is not yet. It doesn't mean the bottom can't be in, but at least there's not been a full reversal point yet, because I would say that some of those are the bare minimum that we need for a macro reversal. So now what we have is this kind of sharp rejection off the highs. We're coming back down here beneath the 20-day moving average, beneath the 50-day moving average, and now we're consolidating and then breaking down even a little bit further from there. So it puts us in between a rock and a hard place where I think we are at a pivotal moment where it's basically saying, hey, if we are going to hold here, then great. We can probably see a move back up into the 80,000s. If we are not able to hold here and you see more downside and follow through, the odds are we're going back into the 60,000 somewhere. Now, that doesn't mean new lows. It's still something I would leave as a possibility on the table. But I think if we get a breakdown from here, I think you'd be looking somewhere in the 60,000s as a pretty reasonable area to the downside. So a little bit of weakness coming out from Bitcoin. You know, the other thing I've noticed here is that since the end of 2024, whenever you look at the one-day relative strength index, you've seen every single rally that Bitcoin has had since the end of 2024 has been weaker than the prior rally. You know, so here we are, you know, November 2024, we pushed up to around an 86 on the relative strength index. Over here, May of 2025, we pushed up to around a 77. Over here in June or July of 2025, it was a 75, and then it was a 72, and then it was a 70. And we're looking at it over here at around a 67. And each rally has been slightly weaker in terms of relative strength in comparison to the prior ones. So that's a trend that I think we need to see break in order for a full reversal to be in play. You need to see the rallies having more strength, not less strength. And I think that's a pivotal thing that we're still waiting on in terms of like what looks to be a very, you know, clear reversal. So we just haven't quite seen that yet either. Now, the confliction kind of comes in here when you look at a more zoomed out approach. Because you could look at Bitcoin in terms of something like the 200-week moving average, for example. And let's just zoom out here, because you can go all the way back. In fact, I'm going to bring us up to another chart. All the way back to something like 2015. And you can see that every single bottom since 2015 has been signaled around this 200-week moving average. We saw it twice in 2015. We saw it once in 2018 and 19, once in 2020. Here in 2022, we briefly broke beneath it, but that was the bottom point. And then here we are again, kind of bouncing off this pivotal level. So historically, when we've gotten near there, it's signaled, hey, the bottom is, you know, likely in, or if not very near. The other thing that people would look at is they'd say, hey, you know, on the relative strength index, the market bottoms out around the same point, and we've hit that exact point, as you can see right over in here. The MACD on the weekly time frame is even showing us very similar, or is sharing some very big similarities to what we saw on the bottom of the 2022 market cycle. You saw kind of a record sweep of the MACD, followed by a reversal point, and then when the record sweep turned reversal on the MACD and turned back to the upside, and you saw the histogram right in here go from red to green, that was the bottom of the market. That was the market bottom signal. Now you're seeing the same thing. Again, a huge sweep to all-time lows for the MACD, a curl back to the upside, and the histogram flipping red to green. So, you know, that was the bottoming point in 2022. There's a similarity here in the very least to what's happening in the current day. And then I think the final things that you can look at are things like the fear and greed index, which we like to talk about all the time. That thing breaking down to a 5, which is basically all-time lows, is a signal that, you know, hey, whenever we've reached prior points like that, 2018, 2020, 2022, the list goes on, it's marked tremendous buying opportunities. So there's a little bit of a disconnect, right? Where the indicators are saying, hey, based on historical data, this is where the market bottom has been. The chart, though, is saying the market bottom could be in, but the reversal, has yet to be confirmed. And so we're on this balance beam where, again, I think there's tremendous value coming out of the market, but we're very clearly in popcorn season. You know, crypto's coming down here and seeing a little bit of red, but there's a lot of cryptos that are seeing tremendous upside in green. You know, let's just look at a few of these before we move on, because you have Bitcoin coming down, Ethereum coming down, Solana chopping coming down, XRP coming down, BNB not really doing anything. And then you move away from these and you start looking at some of these other picks. You know, NEAR up, what, a couple 100% since February? Yeah, up over 200% here. You could go over and you could look at Hyperliquid hitting new all-time highs here today. Now, this guy's up about 230% since January. There's Morpho, which has been on fire. This is another one, you know, up, what, 112, 115%. You've had Sky, which up until recently has had a really strong year, seeing more than 100% to the upside. You had Canton, which started off the year strong, rallying about almost 300%. You have Centrifuge as of lately, which has rallied about 300%+. Venice, which has done over 1,000% to the upside, almost 2,000% to the upside. And, you know, the list goes on. So we're in this popcorn season where a lot of altcoins are doing well, but a lot aren't. In fact, I would say there's probably less ones that are doing like parabolic like this. And there's a lot that just aren't performing quite as well. You know, look at like SPX, look at Uniswap, look at maybe something like Athena. There's a lot of other cryptos out there that just aren't seeing the same level of attraction and attention. But there's a lot that are. And so I think that's where the term popcorn season comes from here, is that it's not the entire bag of kernels exploding up to the upside at once. It's like, okay, well, there's 1, 2, 3, you know, 4 that pop at a time in quick succession, but it's not everything going up in the current state of the market. So it's definitely a picker's market. It's not an everything market at the moment. But I think if you want to see the, you know, everything truly boom, I think you need to see a little bit more love and attention come back to the large caps. And so until I think we see a turnaround in like Bitcoin and Ethereum and maybe Solana and some of these other market leaders, I think you need to see that for kind of everything to see this kind of explosive upside. And that's one of the big things that I'm watching for. So, you know, final note here, TiVo, I think we're at a pivotal point for Bitcoin. Ethereum and other large caps looking a little bit more weak because these are kind of breaking down through critical support and prior support levels and trend lines. And Bitcoin's not quite there yet. So it's at least seeing a little bit more strength. But, you know, if we break here, probably going to the 60s. If we can hold here, then I think that, hey, we could easily go back up into the 80s. And that would be the area that makes sense for me. But
all right, Crypto 101 fam, a story I don't talk about at all is back in college, I played college football at a Division I level. Back then, I could eat whatever I want, hit the gym, do the program, and stay in great shape. I didn't even have to think about it. Now that I'm older, in my 30s, it's a totally different story. And nobody loves a good dad bod more than me. But with the summer coming up, I was thinking maybe I should lean out a little bit. And my friends and I started looking into how we could achieve this. And instead of going down this peptide route or testosterone route where you got to do all these needles and stuff, we didn't want to do that. We were looking for something more similar. And so that's where we found Mars Men. Listen, you lose muscle faster and store more fat as you get older. And a big reason for that is testosterone. Most guys' levels start dropping in their early 30s, and it makes it easier to gain fat, especially around the midsection. And the more fat you gain, the more your body converts testosterone into estrogen. It just makes it a never-ending cycle. But Mars Men, it's a natural supplement designed to support healthy testosterone levels, helping your body burn fat and build lean muscle more efficiently. No weird stimulants, just ingredients like Tongkat Ali, zinc, and boron. Listen, I have friends that have taken this. They're saying they have more consistent energy. They're stronger in the gym. They have better focus, and they're leaning out a little bit as well. Less cravings, better recovery, just more dialed in overall. And listen, if you're interested in trying this, it's something that, again, you don't have to worry about needles and shots and peptides. It's just a pill. It's delivered to you, and there's a 90-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk at all. Over 91% of users report higher energy, and the reviews speak for themselves. For a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, free shipping, and three free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off, three free gifts when you check out. And it's also available on Amazon. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Crypto 101 sent you. Again, for a limited time, our listeners get 50% off and free shipping for life, plus three free gifts. Go to mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and three free gifts when you check out. Also, check them out on Amazon, and wherever you purchase it, tell them Crypto 101 sent you. You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always headcount, budget, or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves, and suddenly everyone's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform that captures any workflow in real time and turns it into a step-by-step documentation automatically. You just turn on the extension, do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot. And it's already trusted by over 80,000 enterprises, including nearly half of the Fortune 500. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing, screenshots, and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. And Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps, bottlenecks, and places to simplify. To book a personalized enterprise demo, visit scribe.how/crypto101. That's scribe.how/crypto101. When we started this podcast, it seemed like we had to figure it all out on our own. Scripts, setup, filming, schedules, logos. It was super overwhelming, and every day seemed to introduce a new decision that needed an answer. When you're starting off with something new, it seems like your to-do list keeps growing every day with new tasks, and that list can easily begin to overrun your life. Finding the right tools that not only helps you out, but simplifies everything can be a game changer. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Shopify is the e-commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like us at Crypt Nation and the Crypto 101 podcast, where you can get our book and merch, to brands that are just getting started. Get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates. Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. Accelerate your efficiency, whether you're uploading new products or trying to improve existing ones. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Get the word out like you have a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. And best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. Start your business today with the industry's best business partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. Go to shopify.com/crypto101. That's shopify.com/crypto101.
A lot going on. I'm sure we'll talk about some of these other alts.
Right, exactly. A lot to talk about today and a great breakdown. And I want to open up to the chat. We've got not a lot of people, but haven't heard from the chat today. So how's everybody doing? Where are you watching in from? Let us know. And if you have any questions for Brendan, maybe we could do a Q&A at the end if there's any specific questions from people. So let us know where you're watching from. Give this video a like. Subscribe if you're new. Bottom right, hit the logo. And then to build on Brendan's point of like, hey, it's popcorn season. Tons of winners, 100, 200, 300 plus percent winners, along with, some ones that aren't getting as much love, all the more reason to get the education you need, be a part of the community with, if you're watching, you're in the right place. Brendan's cohort is open. So we talk about it, once every month or so, there's the opportunity to get into the cohort with Brendan and take the technical analysis course along with the live trading sessions twice a week. So if you enjoy these segments on the rundown, the first link, I put a link for everybody if they want more information on how they can join Brendan's course. It is open this weekend, so check out the link if you're interested and get more technical analysis so you can get the tools to be able to find those popcorn kernels before they pop. Let's see. Oh, we got Sea Isle, New Jersey. I love Sea Isle. We had a Cape May, I think, the other week too. I'm a Jersey Shore guy myself. Grew up going to Avalon right across the bridge there. So welcome Mark from Sea Isle. Love to see that. Happy summer to you. Let's if there's any questions, throw them in the chat. We can circle back to the charts later, but it's just an absolute hype takeover. The amount of activity, the amount of profit that this company is bringing in, and we've talked about it on the show before, with how little the number of employees they have is quite staggering. 44.5% of all crypto fees this week coming from Hyperliquid. What a coin. Brian McNutt keeps putting that in the chat. What a coin. This thing, and I know it was something, again, we talk about it a lot. On the show, but it's something that's been inside the community, been a part of your trading sessions, been a part of, the newsletters for, this year in total, if not last year as well. So great work by the team, great research. But what's your take on this Hyperliquid madness, Brendan?
It is crushing it. Hyperliquid is living proof that if a project is good enough and does what the people want and is designed the right way, it will succeed. It will attract people. It will bring in users. It will make money. There's been a lot of excuses, I think, from crypto projects in past years where they just like play the victim card. And it's like, no, if you design something that people want to use and it benefits them, it will attract people. I'm going to throw some shade here. There's a lot of layer ones out there. There's a lot of crypto projects out there that act all fancy and they design these crazy things and it sounds super intelligent and flashy and this and that. But people don't, there's not like a market for it. Like I think for either an institution or for a person, the purpose and the value proposition isn't quite there. Hyperliquid is living proof that if you offer value, then you will attract people. They probably went the hardest route possible and have seen some of the most success. They went onto their own chain. They did this in a pretty concentrated space. A lot of people have tried to do what they do, just obviously not as well. And they succeeded. I mean, here's a chart. This is from a week ago. I'm sure it's gone up more since. Hyperliquid took 44.58%, so almost 45% of all of crypto's fees this week. I mean, that's more than Tron, more than Solana, more than Ethereum combined. It's crazy. So you look at this and they're dominating almost 50% of crypto's fees. It's nuts. And they're hitting new all-time highs as we speak. I think we showed their chart a little bit ago. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it is like the coin right now and they are crushing it. I think they're also setting the standard where like traditional financial companies and crypto projects alike are having to kind of reinvent their wheels because Hyperliquid's gobbling up market share at such a rapid rate. And customers love it, right? So that's the other thing. So if they're able to do this in a quote-unquote bear market, TiVo, who knows what this is going to be like in a bull market? They are a trading platform. They're a trading platform that has exploded in a bear market. That is borderline unheard of. It'd be one thing if we were in a euphoric bear market, everyone's trading, they're using leverage, they're doing prediction markets, they're, you know, trading spot and perps and options and everything else. They're like, those always fall apart in a bear market and they see a decline in activity. They have consistently grown in a bear market. So who knows what's going to happen in a bull market? I did just see some massive news. Maybe we can flash that up on the screen because it was about Coinbase and yeah, crypto options and perpetual futures. Maybe we skip there because yeah, I have sure. I have a tie-in. So what this says, or did you see this, TiVo?
I saw it come online, the tweet, and read into it, but we haven't talked about it with anybody yet.
So this is a big deal. Brian Armstrong says, hey, this is a big deal for US-based traders and Coinbase. It's a big deal for everyone. Until now, US users have been locked out of 80% of the global crypto markets, things like perpetual futures and options, but not anymore. Basically, the CFTC is making this possible and allowing people to get full access to perpetual futures and options. It's a big deal. At face value, you say, wow, that's a big win for Coinbase. The FTC is looking at crypto more attractively. If you think about it deeper, this is exactly what Hyperliquid does. So if Coinbase can get approved for full, basically unrestricted access, there's a chance that Hyperliquid becomes available in the US, which has not been the case so far. So does this feed the Hyperliquid train? Does this open them up to the behemoth that is the US market? And does this give them more rocket fuel? I think there's a chance.
That's awesome that you tied that together, honestly, because if you just go back a week ago and you were listening to the podcast that Brian and I did, we were talking about how Wall Street loves Hyperliquid, the launch of the hype ETFs. Bitwise has one. There's a couple out there. And I was discussing how I thought it was so interesting that Wall Street's launching these Hyperliquid ETFs for something that can't be used in the US. Yep. Nobody in the US can use this, and all these people love the product. And I kind of did like a little tinfoil hat of like, well, you know how it is. Like, everybody's going to want to get their chips on the table before they open up the floodgates. So they're going to give, you know, people want investment. They're going to make sure that, you know, all the big wigs on Wall Street can get their piece. And then after everybody's position, then they open up the floodgates and let it, you know, go crazy in the US. So that's kind of played out in only a week's time a little bit with what you said there. So it's an interesting kind of tie in there to last week's show as well. And then I just had on the TV in the background with this perpetual futures coming to the US, and I'm going to share this next, is Kalshi's doing it, which is interesting, just being a prediction market. Like, the amount of market share that these, you know, what is it, Coinbase, they're trying to be prediction markets platforms. Prediction markets are trying to be exchanges. It's like, it's getting pretty wild out there. And so it's just, when you zoom out and you start looking at revenues and flows and number of employees, it is interesting to see Hyperliquid, you know, compete against Coinbase and maybe start offering the same things if they get the license to be able to operate in the US. And then Kalshi, you know, offering the same thing as Coinbase, and Coinbase offering the same things as Kalshi. It's like, it's interesting to cover, kind of like, as like, if you want to call us journalists in the space, but it's an absolute free for all.
And now Hyperliquid's overtaken Doge as the number one largest crypto, or not number one, number nine largest crypto by market cap. So Hyperliquid making big strides. I think it was 16 billion. I believe, I'll fact check myself on that, but I believe it broke. It has gone up since then, and it is now at 17 billion. Wow. 17 billion in market cap. It's pretty big.
Yeah, it's honestly wild that Doge, the OG Doge holders, still keep it up that high, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's been a great story to cover. And again, it's just kind of credit to the research that you and the whole entire team does at our Crypt Nation team. So, you know, again, if you listen to the podcast, you're in the right place. But if you want those first alerts and first information through the newsletter and being with Brendan live twice a week, check out the links below. It's the place to be. And if you're new here, please subscribe. Bottom right, hit the subscribe button. So we're bouncing around on the sheet. Me and you did earlier in the week, you know, a lot of negative ETH news. So I wanted to try to find some positive ETH news, and it just kind of came across the timeline organically. Standard Charter, big ETH bulls, they're saying like, hey, weak price action does not reflect the improving fundamentals. And it compares Ethereum to Amazon after the .com crash. Obviously, a lot of comparisons to the .com era in general right now with the AI trade. But you know, a lot of these internet companies, they rose up. It was crazy. It was never seen before. And then it all crashed. But from the rubble of the crash emerged our, you know, Mag 7 giants of Amazon and, you know, Meta and Google and Microsoft. So, you know, the internet era survives and kind of Standard Charter trying to say like, hey, don't ignore the fundamentals, even though the price action has not been positive. And then I saw this. Did you see this? The first stable coin from a U.S. national bank. It launched on Ethereum. From SoFi.
Oh, I did see this.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Shout out SoFi. I'm a fan of
them. Yeah, shout out SoFi. So they're, you know, again, it's all about where are the big, it's kind of like compared to what we just said with Hyperliquid of how, hey, you know, if the ETFs are going live, but it's not, you know, the biggest market of America, it's not even open to, you know, the U.S. users yet. It's interesting why there's so much interest on Wall Street. I think of kind of the same thing here. It's like, hey, where is Wall Street building? And again, you know, people are building, you know, all over the space, but, you know, Ethereum keeps coming up, just not the price action. So it's an interesting take.
That it is, man. That it is. There's a lot going on. And I think it's just a matter of time, you know, regardless of if we go a little bit lower, I think it's a matter of time until the fundamentals catch up to the technicals and you probably see a huge bounce, lots of upside still, but.
Truly. It's like all you really need for, you know, is one of those 8 to 10% days for Bitcoin, same thing for Ethereum. And then it's kind of what's happening now. You said popcorn season for altcoins. It's been popcorn season for these AI names, right? Like what was it this week? Dell now today earnings 40%. And Snowflake the other day was like, oh, AI is going to kill the Snowflake and software business. It's like, no, Snowflake's building on top of AI. And then heads, you know, neck break, 40% move. ServiceNow up 40% this week. So there's all these in Micron, and like we've covered it a little bit on the show. That's obviously not our space, but yeah. it's you can't ignore it. And so again, that's the sexy trade, and you know, we have some popcorns like we covered at the top of the show in crypto. But, you know, like you nailed it perfectly. Once the big dogs, your Bitcoins, your Ethereums, your Solanas, once they get one of those, you know, 8 to 10% days, you know, that you're going to want to take that bell to the ball and dance with her a little bit. So I think we're, you know, one good momentum push upward away from really getting a lot of flows back into the space. So it's definitely a time to be researching and staying up with the news like this. Basically the same as Hyperliquid. I know there's BNB is not, our Binance US is, you know, traditionally has not been as good as the regular Binance, right? But hey, BNB ETF going live via VanEck. So again, just constant news, constant building in the space. And again, we try to find the winners, and we have done that consistently inside the community. But, you know, the space as a whole, we're kind of waiting for that next tide lifts all boats in the crypto space, Brendan. But the news continues to flow in. Are you excited for the BNB ETF?
You know, I am. I think BNB gets a lot of hate. I think at certain points it maybe has been a little bit justified, but like I'm a fan. Like, right, I think Binance has made some clearly frustrating mistakes. Shout out October 10th. But you know, as a whole, I think BNB has performed quite well over the long term. It still is one of the largest cryptos, you know, one of the most popular and active chains out there. Not, you know, the most, but one of the top ones out there. And I think the more kind of crypto attention and demand that we can get, the better. I'm a fan of this. I think a lot of those major cryptos should have ETFs. I might be a little bit biased here because, Tivo, you know me. I like to trade a little options. I like to sell some options, buy some options. Could you imagine if we could have bought some Hyperliquid options come the start of this year? Man, all I'm saying. So I think the more options available, the more people who can buy this stuff, the more freedom there is for it. I'm full on board regardless of whether it's my favorite token or not. And, you know, I don't hate BNB. Again, I think it gets too much hate. So I'm happy for this.
There we go. Yeah, again, it's all about the continuous adoption of the crypto markets and the pairing of Wall Street. It's not going anywhere, clearly. One thing I didn't actually have on the sheet, but I wanted your take. We're pulling it up now. Is Saylor buying bonds? Not buying Bitcoins this week. Michael Saylor buying bonds. And then again, nobody knows how to split people down the middle more than Saylor for making people either happy or angry. The bulls are saying it's absolute genius. He's buying bonds to get more money to buy Bitcoin. And then the bears are like, oh, he's giving up on Bitcoin. What's your thought on this the continuous saga with Michael Saylor?
I might have to keep my mouth shut on this one.
Hey, man, give a hot take. We've talked. I don't know. I think I've been more with Brian when we talked about all the different offerings that Strategy or MicroStrategy has done with their perpetual, perpetuals in my head, the different offerings they've done with the financial alchemy and giving dividends and all that stuff. Like I've said openly, like, hey, I don't really understand the financial chemistry of everything that he's building. So like, I wouldn't be an investor in it. I did buy some Stretch just to see how it worked just for the show. And it was interesting to get the dividend and all that stuff and watch it, go to par and then a little bit under and then a little bit above. It is very interesting. But again, it's definitely not for me as an investor. But, like you said, there's hot takes to be given around. So what's yours?
I can appreciate everything that Michael Saylor has done for the industry. I'm actually a huge fan of him. I don't like his recent stances. I think the idea of STRC it doesn't make any sense to me. His whole thing has always been Bitcoin will appreciate. I'm not going to sell my Bitcoin. It's a long-term value play. He always talks about the benefits of holding long-term and not selling. And then he's creating this dividend product to appeal to the dividend investors. He's giving a way higher than average dividend on this thing so that he can attract people and act flashy. But at the end of the day, they can't support the dividends that they're giving it, like 11% or whatever it is. And they can't even justify that because their business isn't making enough. So what do they have to do? They have to go and sell Bitcoin when his whole spiel isn't. So I don't like the idea that, and they're doing it while Bitcoin's at what, 40, 50% away from its all-time highs. So Bitcoin is heavily retraced at a deep area of opportunity, and they're selling it off to support a product where it's the yield so high they can't produce that, I guess, or they won't produce that with their balance sheet. I don't know if they can't or just choose not to. And then they're having to sell the very asset that they're supposed to be the mega bull of just to support this thing and keep it alive. Like, that doesn't sound healthy and sustainable to me. And I don't like the idea of having to sell Bitcoin in order to, sustain that thing. So that's frustrating, number one. And then number two, you get into this. And all of a sudden, Bitcoin's down 40, 50% from its all-time highs, depending on the day, depending on the week. And are they buying more Bitcoin? No, they're selling Bitcoin. That's what they've talked about recently. And then all of a sudden they're buying bonds. Like, I don't get it. I get a little bit frustrated by it because it just feels like there's a little bit of inauthenticity or a lack of authenticity. I don't know. I don't know how you justify it. I know that there's permabulls out there. Again, a huge fan of Michael Saylor. I want to be critical so that we can have like a better step forward. But this is like when we were looking back at like just people just making not smart decisions, like at the Super Bowl or something. I think we talked about some crypto people going to the Super Bowl and like flashing stuff in like the heat of the bear market and like prices were tanking and it just was like not a good look and not a good time and place. I think the same thing is here. If the market was at all-time highs and he was like, we're going to take a little bit of Bitcoin off the table and we're going to support other products, I'd be like, hey, that makes sense. They're taking profits while it's up on an asset that he's bullish in, and they're going to start more products to get more people into this. But I don't know. I just think the way that it does, I'll rant about this, but
no, it's great. And that's what I love about our team is that we have so many great people that again, believe in the space holistically, but it's good to get different approaches and different thoughts. And you're not wrong at all. I actually agree with you, but I think it's more of as he's wanted to grow his Bitcoin vision of what MicroStrategy and its offerings are. I think personally, there's a marketing problem with exactly what you said. There's a marketing problem of, hey, you're going to all the conferences saying never, never sell your Bitcoin. We pull up the tweets. And then now you're saying like, well, we'll sell the Bitcoin for this. I think that even if these spinoffs of Stretch, et cetera, they need different operating leadership. So like Michael Saylor shouldn't be the face of Stretch. It should be part of the MicroStrategy family, yes. But you should have a different COO that goes and talks about that because they might take a different approach to the finances than MicroStrategy and their Bitcoin. So I think it's a communication problem in my mind of like, hey, we're trying something different over here, but it doesn't align with the, you know, the thesis that we began with MicroStrategy over there. And then, you know, I agree with you. But it gets a little convoluted, I guess, when it's all mashed together. It is a little confusing. Quick question. Is your computer actually old, or is it just being dragged down by the stuff that's supposed to protect it? Because that's the part nobody really thinks about. A lot of traditional antivirus programs are heavy. They take up space, slow things down, throw pop-ups at you. And then you're sitting there blaming your laptop like, well, maybe it's time for a new one. But sometimes your device isn't the problem. Your antivirus is. And us being in crypto, we know that we need a top-tier antivirus program to keep our assets safe. That's why Webroot makes sense. Webroot is a cloud-based antivirus, so it's built to stay out of your way. It takes up to 33 times less space than bulky competitors and scans 6 times faster, so you're getting protection without your computer feeling like it's fighting for its life every time you open up a few tabs. And this matters more now because AI has changed the cybersecurity game. Phishing emails look more real, scams are getting smarter, and malware moves fast. So you need protection that can actually keep up. Webroot helps defend you in real time against malware, phishing, ransomware, and other threats. Whether you're working, browsing, streaming, or just trying to use your computer without it sounding like it's about to take off. For a limited time, you can save 60% on Webroot when you go to webroot.com/crypto101. That's 60% off today, but only when you go to webroot.com/crypto101.
I get why. People like their dividends. It's 11%. It's marketable. You're saying you can't get this anywhere else. Everyone wants to earn passive, you know, yield on their money. I just think that when you look at how dividends are produced from everywhere else that is long-term sustainable, it's produced from the money that they make. They say, hey, that's what a dividend is. Whereas this is just not. It's just it's a dividend based off of how many assets, how much assets they own in their balance sheet. And I don't like that. I think that a dividend, if you're going to pay one, or a yield, should be based off of how much is being made. And I don't know. So maybe I just disagree, and that's fine. But that's my hot take with it. Because the last thing I want to see is MicroStrategy Strategy now have to keep doing this and have to keep selling Bitcoin, and the market stays bearish for longer, and it becomes somewhat unsustainable for them, and then there's a bigger problem and a blow up or something. Like, that's the last thing I want to see here. So my big focus is on sustainability.
Agree. I think we all want that. And it's, again, it's as journalists in the space, it's something we'll continue to cover. But spinning into some positive news is the crypto card payment volume, which is interesting because of Jupiter. I know I just had you speak with somebody from Jupiter recently, and we've had them on the podcast as well. So some more Jupiter content. But again, the adoption of crypto in the real world is surging.
It's huge. Yeah. I mean, look at crypto card payment volumes. Up 230% since May of last year. That is a wild stat. It's a huge growth rate, reaching a record $7.8 billion. Insane. In fact, shout out to you, TiVo. You just got Jupiter on the podcast. So gotta give kudos to super producer TiVo here. We've had them on twice this year. Once in January, one this week, I believe, at the start of the week.
Yeah, I got you that. We're going to release that on the podcast, and then also we're going to do a little snippet for the Summit series coming this summer. Yeah. So get excited for another Summit series from Crypt Nation from Bryce and I. It'll be super excited to get all the interviews with all of our analysts. So again, it's just trying to find people that are positive and building in the space. That's my criteria. Like, hey, I got to do the research and try to get our listeners the best guests that you and Bryce can interview to see, you know, who's building, who's actually doing things. And obviously, it looks like Jupiter really getting people on chain. This is a fun one. Not necessarily, crypto related in a way, because like they'll trade crypto. But not totally. I just need to get your take. Robinhood launching AI agent, the ability to connect your AI agent to Robinhood agentic account, so you can start to build an agent that can trade for you, execute trades on your behalf. It's starting to roll out now. Let your agent trade. Brendan, is this something you're going to look into? Do you think this is good? Do you think this is bad? Just give me your bird's eye level view of building these AI agents to trade for you.
Listen, I like the idea of it. I think a lot of people are going to probably get themselves in trouble by having agents. You know, it's going to be people who don't really know what they're doing, and they're just going to be, they're going to like half-ass a setup and be like, oh, the AI will learn and it'll do well. And I think some people are just going to be silly with their money and kind of throw it at this thing and, you know, probably lose some. But I love the idea of it. I'm all for stuff like this. Again, for me, it's like maximum freedom. Like, let people do what they want to do. And I think for a lot of people, this is awesome. I think it's super cool. And if you really do know what you're doing, you could probably set up something pretty killer. Now, I haven't tested this yet, but like Robinhood is like at the forefront of like setting this.
It sounds like a tutorial. So we got to do some research, see if we can connect an account. Obviously, yeah. I don't want to set you up with anything too crazy that we haven't done yet. But I think the people would love to see this because it would be cool to test this out.
I would be game. It sounds fun to me, man. I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah, but I agree with your point. It feels like, again, the more opportunities, the more freedom, especially for, you know, democratizing finance for all, which is Robinhood's slogan. This makes a lot of sense, but there's no doubt that, sadly, some individuals are probably going to blow themselves up by using this. So this is, again, nothing we ever say is financial advice by any means, but please be careful out there and understand what you're doing. If you're connecting an agentic AI agent and giving it the ability to trade funds, please, you got to know what you're doing, because there's going to be stories that come out of this of, sadly, some retail people that are going to blow up. And I bet I would place some money that some hedge fund is going to try and implement this into their fund, and it's going to blow them up too. Like, you know, a missed prompt, or you miss a rule or something, you don't explain it properly, and you're like, there's going to be some interesting news that come out of this type of ability from both retail and major professional funds, I believe. But in the long term, it probably is for the best and a cool tool. I don't think they didn't announce what company it was, but just an example of like not understanding how to properly gate yourself from AI mistakes. There was a major company, I believe it was like a Mag 7 company, that spent $500 million. It was Amazon.
Is that? It was alluded to be Amazon.
It was alluded to be Amazon. That's what I heard, but not confirmed. But a major Mag 7 company blew through like $500 million in AI tokens in a quarter, and like the CFO was like, "What the hell was this for?" And everybody's like, "I was just using AI." So it's again. The AI is a tool for sure, but you got to understand what you're doing. So there's going to be more stories like that, I think.
Yeah, that was one of the craziest stories I've heard. How you get to that number? Apparently, there was like a leaderboard that they created of like who the big spenders were, and I'm sure they'll go back and be like, "What the heck were you guys doing?" I mean, half a billion dollars in AI tokens.
Man, jeez.
I will say, not to rabbit trail us too much, I heard that they are, I think, big investors in Anthropic, I believe, and that's where I think the tokens were spent. And so the idea was that maybe this was an accident, I'm quotation marking here, because they're a big investor. So all of a sudden, Anthropic seeing all this money and all this activity and this surge, and then it comes out, a little bit later down the road after this happened, that they're now valued significantly higher. And if Amazon's a big investor in them, that means that their stake's valued a bunch more. So, what if they spent $500 billion, but now all of a sudden their stake in Anthropic or whoever it was is now billions more, right? Maybe it was big brain.
Flywheel. That's what everybody's yelling at NVIDIA for, is the flywheel investing into the AI infrastructure. It's very, very interesting to follow that. But as we wrap up the show, two more things. Brendan, we had some questions from the chat, so let's do that. And then we have one final note we'll hit before we close out for some information to all you people that have kids and grandkids. So you're going to stick around for that. The chat got a little active there as the show went on. We had CIO. We mentioned that earlier. Let's see who else. We have Gustavo here. Beautiful. Prob Biz is here. Let's see. I think I saw somebody from Poland. Yes, Mike, all the way from Poland, Brendan. Unbelievable. And then we've got David from Flemingsburg, Kentucky. Welcome. And Jim from Orlando, another Florida man with us. Jim from Orlando. Thank you guys for tuning in. Give this video a like. It really helps us grow the channel. If you're new, bottom right, subscribe. But all the way from Poland, if you're coming from Poland, we're going to let you ask a question. And then again, quickly, last chance, if you have a question for Brendan in the charts, throw it in the chat. Let's pull up Tao. This is from Mike from Poland, interested in Tao. Tao had its moment in the sun in the beginning of the year for timeline-wise. Remember, Jensen Huang was talking about it. Yep. The All In podcast was talking about it. So Tao, definitely, it was a AI hype trade. I guess VVV Venice took the momentum from that. But what are you seeing from Tao?
Well, they had a little bit of drama, too, and I think that's what kind of stopped the momentum. They had some drama, sir, I believe some drama, and some people wanted to like leave their ecosystem or something. And, that just caused, I think, a little bit of a spook for people. You've kind of just seen it going sideways since March. It ran up all this, I think, had the drama around here, came back, or maybe the drama was here, I forget, but basically kind of came back down, and you've kind of just seen it making lower highs for a little bit. It is pushing some pressure kind of back into the downside a little bit. But it is right around the 200-day moving average. You've seen it kind of come around this area before, bounce off of it, come down in here, bounce off of it. Now it's coming back down into this area once again. So I would say historically, you find a lot of support around the mid-200s. If it starts cracking beneath this level right in here, I think that's where you have to be careful. I think if it rolls over from here, then you're in for some more downside, probably back to $200, maybe even a little bit lower if that's the case. But little bit of a curl, definitely not out of the woods yet, but I'd keep a close eye on this mid-$200 level. If you can hold here, you can probably head back up to almost $300 where you're going to have some resistance, but this is going to be a pretty big level. What else did we have?
One from me. Anybody else have one last call? One from me. Pengu. I haven't seen some TA on Pengu in a while. I had a nice trade off the bottom there. I actually sold a little bit near that 1 cent mark, thinking I might get to buy it back lower. Looks like I got a little opportunity here. What are you seeing?
Yeah, man, Pengu's had a little bit of a rough fall here off the highs.
It's such a volatile coin, such a fun project.
It is. Nice rally here, kind of off the February lows, 125%. Really failed to hold above this 200-day moving average. You kind of saw it rejecting here at what was a, lower high for sure. So kind of lower high rejection, really struggling to hold above the 200. And now it's, fallen beneath the 20, the 200 and the 50-day moving averages. And, that short-term death cross is coming back as it bleeds into the lows. I think if there's anywhere for it to find support as it comes back into this prior consolidation range, this should act as a support zone, but it does look like it's in a bit of a bearish trend here. I think if you want to see this get aggressive again, you really need to see it get back above the 200-day moving average. You need to start seeing it contest these prior highs a little bit higher, but right now it does look a little bit more like it's downtrending and a little bit more bearish than some of these other projects. So, yeah,
and that's how it goes. Very similar. Yeah. Honestly, funny enough, even though it is a meme coin, we talk about a lot how they're actually, doing a lot of stuff and building a big community there. So it's very, very kind of similar to the crypto market, right? Like, hey, a lot of fundamentals, a lot of bullishness, but, the token's not there right now. So yeah. Kind of an interesting take there. Last one is Ondo, and then we'll wrap up with our final quick hitter.
Yeah, Ondo here, really nice run. You saw it consolidating for quite some time, just sideways, leading into the breakout moment. Now it's had the breakout, got above the 200, kind of bounced off of it, came back up to resistance, rejected again, back at the 200. You should see this act as support in here. So it's got a little pocket of support here just from like 33 to 36 cents. You would want to see it hold here. If it starts cracking too much below this, then the odds are you're probably coming back towards 28 cents as a likely area, maybe 29 cents. If it is able to hold here, again, retest of that same high that it's been hitting, around 45 to 46 cents. You've tapped this level a couple of different times, failed to break. You've seen a lot of support around the 35, 36 cent area. So that's what it looks like. A break probably to 28 cents, a hold probably back up to 45, 46 cents. If you break that, I think next stop is 60 cents for Ondo. Looking a little bit stronger. Again, very contingent upon it holding here. But no kind of like gigantic red flags from this. I like the fact that it held yesterday and hopefully will hold today. That could be a good sign, but you know, right at support. So I'd say this one's a little bit stronger than maybe like Pengu. And I think it's worth keeping an eye if we get some confirmation.
Yeah, and they had a lot of news of tokenization and a lot of partnerships too. So another project that continuously keeps building. Final news. Well, thank you, Brendan. And as always, again, if you want that access to Brendan's trading course, the cohort is open. It's only open this weekend. So check the link in the description. It's the first one there I put for you. The new cohort starts next week. So if you want those technical analysis live with Brendan twice a week, you get to ask him questions of all the projects you want to do, plus take the 6-week course and learn to do it yourself. Now's the time. Link is in the description. Check it out. The last one, this is for the listeners. Anybody out there that has young children, or if you're a grandparent or just have friends, I was doing this with all my friends and my nephews and nieces, making sure that everybody went and opened up a Trump account. And again, it's called a Trump account. It is, it's just what it's called. No political bias here, but it is a great project led by down here. You can see Brad Gerstner. He was leading this. And actually the Dell family, funny enough, Michael Dell was a big seed fund, put a lot of money into seeding this along with the U.S. government. But you can open up a Dell. I'm sorry. You can open up a Trump account for your child. I believe this is what I found, Brendan. It's under two. Under 2 years old is $1,000. It gets seeded, and then 10 and under. Any kid 10 and under gets $200, $250 or something like that to seed in the account. Totally free. And actually, it launched in partnership with Robinhood. And as you can see there, he said it's the number 4 overall in the App Store. Unbelievable. Number 1 in finance. I think a lot of people, I was talking to my friends with kids, and when they were filing their taxes as a family, a lot of people, there was an ability to sign up then. So tons of people are signing up. But if you're somebody that has young children and you have not heard about this yet, or you know somebody with young children that hasn't talked about this or knows about this, it's good to inform them because, again, it's free money for the children, and the kids are our future. And kind of Brad Gerstner made tons of rounds of media and is just like, hey, we got to get the next generation invested in America. Because that's in his words, he's seeing a divergence between, you know, people in their 20s and maybe 30s that didn't get financial education, didn't get invested, and don't have the upside and aren't riding along on the upside of these crazy markets that we've seen really the last, 20 years since the dot-com bubble burst. It's been insane. So, yeah. Anything to add there, Brendan? I know, you know, me and you, no kids, so nothing. We're not signing up for any Trump accounts, but it is a cool thing. And I think it's a cool thing because it gets, you know, obviously money into people's hands for the kids, but it helps, I think, it's financial education for everybody.
You know, obviously, if you have a kid, you should do it. Again, regardless of, there's no political bias in this. I mean, if you can give your kid $1,000 to be invested when they're born, it can be a college fund, it can be a, you know, whatever it may be, a school fund. I think it's helpful. So I think it makes sense. I am curious like what the controls on that look like. But I have a lot of friends who are having kids these days, you know, young kids, two and under, just having them some, you know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to track these, you know, 5, 10, 20 years and see what comes of it. Yeah. But again, a little piece of the American dream via the Trump accounts. Let your friends know. But that's going to be all for us. Brendan, thank you so much. I know you have such a busy week this week, and then starting the cohort next week, and all the stuff going on in Crypt Nation, a lot of good stuff. We are always, as we say, one of the teams building in the space continuously. I really appreciate you joining us, and I appreciate everybody listening to the live. One last call, check the links below, give this video a like, and if it was your first time, please subscribe. Thank you all for joining in. Next week, we'll have some shows, but not sure about the schedule. I'll let everybody know in the community post when I figured that out. But we'll have some great podcasts. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you all enjoy your weekend. But that's all for now. Bye, everybody.